Welcome back. 28 minutes past 8 o'clock. My deepest apologies to Sean Shelley. He is the founder of SA Drug Policy Week. You may understand breaking news, Sean, but we are having a conversation about yesterday. Police Minister Bheki Cele clarifying that alcohol stores, liquor outlets will be closed. And many people can flippantly say, well, it's a great time to detox and not imbibe. I saw today that there was a run on bottle stores. I saw some of the pictures. It was absolutely probably more full than the supermarkets collecting actual basic food stuff. But the question now comes in, many people going into lockdown, many people not being able to leave their homes, and many people, if we look at dependency, drug and alcohol and substance dependency as an illness, as a sickness, not being able to substitute the substance that you depend on could actually have real life and death ramifications for people who are drug and substance dependent. Is that not so?
Absolutely. We know that people who are alcohol dependent, who rapidly reduce their levels of alcohol use, develop delirium, sort of this global sense of confusion, and a lot of them are become very vulnerable to all sorts of things, not the least of which is death. And, you know, in about 1% to 4% of cases, you can see people dying in certain studies. Mm. And so this is quite a serious thing. It's also serious because not everybody recognizes it, and people think that somebody's just a little confused or whatever. And in fact, they can deteriorate quite rapidly after that. And it's a life-threatening condition. And all it takes to alleviate it is a little bit of alcohol. Obviously, there's a lot of other things that play in with it. Mm. But, you know, benzodiazepines are used to treat it symptomatically. But when people are stuck in these kind of conditions and they're being delirious, and that, and people don't really know what to do, and they panic, you know, so I think we've got a problem coming ahead of us.
It is
not only with alcohol, but other drugs as well.
It is an enviable problem that that government, social services programs, social services departments, I think needed to grapple with. You know, this came on to us very, very quickly, just a few days ago, the president announcing a national lockdown. But if you also look at people who are dependent on drugs that they inject, for particular heroin, wunga, and we know that there are government-sponsored drug replacement programs that they can at least try to substitute the more dangerous of drugs that they inject, or even impure drugs. Are those programs still running? And if you can explain to us what happens if a person is, for example, dependent on heroin, what happens to them, you know, physiologically if they're unable to get their fix?
Well, first of all, people who use unregulated street drugs are more vulnerable to infections such as COVID. They've often got compromised cardiac issues because of the effects of injecting with non-sterile injecting equipment. And so when they go into withdrawal as well from the opioids, the symptoms are very similar to COVID symptoms. You know, you nauseous, terrible headaches, muscle cramping, nausea, tearing, lactation in the eyes. So they're very similar sort of symptoms on the withdrawal. And that obviously causes some confusion as well, and these people are already vulnerable. And I think in times of real trial and trepidation like this, we see the most marginalized people in society really suffer the most. And certainly this is a group that will suffer, because there are a couple of programs in South Africa. They're not very big. The majority of them are funded by overseas funders to provide substitution therapy. But a lot of people are homeless, so they are going to be moved into places which we're not always sure where they are. A lot of the shelters would obviously not allow people to access injecting equipment, although I got some news today that there would be some shelters that would allow that, which is essential to stop the spread of HIV and other diseases as well as coronavirus. And then the programs are really small, but what's going to happen is we're going to see a disruption in the supply of drugs because people can't buy, and then they're going to be stuck and with these symptoms that could or could not be the virus. You know, so it becomes quite confusing. People are vulnerable to other diseases. Look, heroin, most people don't die of heroin withdrawal, but what happens is when you've got people who are already compromised physically and in a health way, they are very, very vulnerable to other things that happen. And then when you further put pressure on the system through the withdrawals, they can die from other side effects as well.
Sean, does this open up a doorway for the illicit economy to thrive? Many people not going to be having access if they are drug and alcohol dependent. They're not going to have regular access. For example, if you are an alcoholic and you need a drink to try to say this as sensitively as possible. If your bottle store is not open, does this then open up the pathways for the illicit economy to then thrive for whether it be drugs or whether it be alcohol, and that you could actually see a whole nother, you know, illicit economy growing from this lockdown?
Yes. So, in fact, I've seen a couple of messages and tweets and that talking about we're going back to the days of moonshine, and we know that when you prohibited the sale of alcohol in the United States, we saw a burgeoning criminal economy because of the great margins that are there to be made. And we would see the same if this went on long enough. I think what we'd also see is people taking desperate measures, looking for anything with alcohol in to drink. And we know there are lots of things with alcohol in at the moment, to try and relieve some of the discomfort that they go through. But that's obviously not very healthy either. You know, it's worse so. And we must remember that always, no matter how dangerous we perceive a drug to be, the street version is always more dangerous than the purer version, that where you know what dose you're taking. It becomes very difficult to control that. And on illicit alcohol, or unregulated alcohol, you don't know whether you're taking 3% or 93% alcohol. Mm-hmm. And that can have severe effects on the individual. And also, people sometimes try and synthesize alcohol themselves, and they end up making methanol instead of ethanol, and that's lethal. So I don't want to sound like a prophet of doom with all of this. For some people, it will be an opportunity to cut down on their drug use, and that. I was speaking to some people today who expressed that. But at the same time, it's going to be a very hard road for a lot of people who are going to need a lot of support, and there's not a lot of support for them in the best of times, and in these times I think there's going to be even less.
Psychosocial help is also quite necessary when trying to kick a habit, whether it be support groups or whether it be individual counseling. Do we know, there's technology, of course, where people can call sponsors, where they can Skype with sponsors, even WhatsApp with, you know, sponsors as they're probably going through a rehab program. How are support groups handling this 21-day lockdown?
So, look, from my point of view, I work in a harm reduction kind of setting. So there we've encouraged people to form WhatsApp support groups. In fact, there's a global support group as well. But unfortunately, you know, a lot of the people that need it most don't get to access that because they've got no international connections or experience. But locally, we should be doing the same thing. And I've seen that happen at some level, but not enough. We should have people who encouraging people to try not to do things that are going to put themselves in greater danger, to try and maybe distribute medications that are going to relieve the symptoms through novel and interesting ways, because it's very difficult to get opioid substitution therapy in this country, for example, and it's about 10 to 30 times more expensive than anywhere else in the world. So we also have restrictions on prescribing, and we've tried to move most of our people onto 2-week or 30-day doses. But a lot of people won't do that. And also, it means that people have to be really disciplined. And so my recommendation is to find friends who you can contact with WhatsApp and that. You know, this term of social distancing is a bit problematic because nobody really wants to be socially distanced. But just because you're physically distanced doesn't mean you have to be socially distanced, and especially with today's technology. So my encouragement to people is to say, keep physically distant, but socially connected, because maybe after this pandemic disappears, we can learn some lessons and we can actually remain more socially interconnected, because we are all vulnerable to this, but some people are a lot more vulnerable than others, and we've got to remember that.
in the best of times, if you have a year to plan for a particular project, you may forget one or two little details, and you know, some people's or interested parties may fall by the wayside. In a national shutdown that was announced on Monday night, probably planned maybe a week or so before, it was inevitable that there were going to be people, that there were going to be groups that may not have come to mind, particularly the issue of people who are drug and alcohol and substance dependent. What do we do after this? How do we then start and forward this conversation that people who are alcohol dependent on alkies or alcoholics, the people who are drug dependent on simply junkies or tikkopa? How do we then have this conversation once we are all through this, saying that we are all part of a community, we are all facing struggles, and you know, even drug and substance dependency is a public health issue?
Yeah, so I think you've raised a very important point. The problem is you can't solve these things in the crisis moment. I think the government's actually done remarkably well considering everything, and from the information I'm getting from overseas, I think we're managing this situation as best as we possibly can. Some of the conditions are fairly stringent. I think there should be access to some alcohol for limited periods. But I think everybody's trying to make the best of a bad situation, and there are going to be problems. We have to accept that. That's why we need to look at the most marginalized people in our societies before these problems come, and then after them. And frankly, again, people who use drugs are going to go down to the bottom of the pile. And we must remember that a lot of them have been criminalized for nothing else but a little bit of drug use. And if growing up in a different suburb, they would have gone on to university or whatever, they're now sitting in jail. And jail's one place that we're going to see a lot of spread of disease there, especially if you're bringing new people into the jail for a variety of reasons. So we've got to address these problems afterwards. And really, I think that if we're honest about it, we've really handled the whole drug situation badly in this country. And we're going to have to do something radically different afterwards. And I think the only thing that we actually really need to do is make sure that our drug policies align with the Constitution, which they clearly don't.
Sean Shelley, he's the founder of SA Drug Policy Week. I'd love to know from you if you are willing to come on air and say you have a substance dependency problem. Are you dependent on alcohol? If you haven't gone to the bottle store to stock up, because as Sean said, many alcoholics, from a physiological point of view, they would go into a detox mode, which their body can't handle, and they would probably need a drink just to stay alive. If you are one of those people, give me a call, 021-446-0567. You can drop me a WhatsApp, 072-567-1567. We are taking this one day at a time. As South Africa, we've never been in this position before. As many people have said, from the president to the mayor to me on radio, unprecedented of the situation that we find ourselves in. Let's go to Ron in Parklands. How are you doing, Ron?
I'm good. Good in yourself.
Very good. Do you want to talk about the dependence issue?
Yes. Many people are dependent, as we all know. And it's a good thing that the stores are closed. Because we dependent people on alcohol do stock up, but I know it's going to be a little bit longer than 21 days. So let's hope it's 28 days.
Is this a time for you to try and wean yourself off dependency?
Absolutely. So I've even seen my GP today and spoken to him about it. And he's also a recovering alcoholic. And The best is to nourish ourselves and to build up our esteems, our minds, and to just keep everything in consideration.
Ron in Parklands, thank you so much. Thanks for being brave to come on air with us this evening. 17 minutes to 9 o'clock. You are listening to Tonight with me, Lester Givett. It is the always open line. If you have anything that you want to get off your chest, how you are feeling as we are sitting on lockdown eve. Just coming up over 3 hours to go before the country goes under 21-day national lockdown. Give me a call, 021-446-0567. Drop me that WhatsApp, 072-567-1567.